Thank you for downloading this episode of the South Fairfax Church of Christ podcast. This podcast is presented by the Church of Christ located at 2834 South Fairfax Road in Bakersfield, California. We are a congregation that practices mutual edification to the best of our abilities, and what you are about to hear was presented to the congregation by a member of the Church of Christ. Today we'll be listening to Joshua Fry speak about the husband's role. Recorded on July 15th, 2018.
This morning's reading is going to come from Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to read verse 1 and then skip over to verse 22. I don't know if you recall when I was last on to speak, I spoke about wives and how studying or paying attention to the way wives respond to their husbands and the attitudes that they have, the proper attitudes, helps us understand the way that we should behave towards Christ. The submissiveness that we're told in the Bible, that's how we need to submit to Christ. When we see the things that they do for us as husbands, or when we see the things that they do for their husbands, we need to pay attention and behave that exact same way and imitate that behavior towards Christ. This morning, I'm going to talk a little bit in a way about husbands. Following up with that, and then next month I also have a lesson, and I hopefully will be able to focus and talk about children and how all of these things, when we look at what they do, the way they behave, how that applies to us as Christians and why we need to imitate that. The idea being that we may not necessarily always like what the Bible has to say about a specific role, but when we fulfill that role, what we're really doing is exemplifying the behavior that we need to have as individuals in the church towards God. It all helps us better understand the way we need to behave. And that's a lot of what Paul has to say here in Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Ephesians chapter 5, it says, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Then we skip down to verse 22. "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband." And hopefully we'll kind of get a better idea of that. But all these things are set up in a way for us to have a better understanding of God and our relationship to him when we put them in the proper perspective, instead of just saying, well, you need to submit because that's what it says, or I get to be in charge because that's what it says. Well, there's a reason for that. When we put it in the proper perspective, it's to have a better understanding of God, not so that we can set up a social structure of who's best or who's on top and who's down here and doing other things. It all should work to give us a better understanding of God and our relationship to him in what we do. This morning I read from Ephesians chapter 5, and that's Paul writing there and setting up some of the roles in the family, in a sense. They're talking about husbands and wives, and then later he talks about children. But what we have here is not just the roles, but the reason for them. He talks about wives do this, just as the church is supposed to do, because Christ is this, and husbands do this. And when we look at that, we need to understand the roles and the way they're set up are there to be learning instruments for us. It's a way for us to have a better understanding of who God is and how we relate to Him and what we should do. And when we look at how these roles are portrayed in the Bible, we have a better understanding of how we ourselves are supposed to behave as followers of God. Several weeks ago, I did a lesson about wives, and we have many examples in the Bible about wives and the way that they are submissive to their husbands, the culmination in some ways being the last chapter in Proverbs about the wife of noble character and all the things that she does to provide for her husband and her family and the way she exalts him through her behavior, and how really as Christians, male and female, that's the way we need to behave towards Christ. All those things that wives do, the fact that my wife makes coffee for me most mornings without being asked, she makes my breakfast and my lunch and prepares it for me so that I don't have to think about that in the morning. I just take my lunch bag and go to work. I come in, I sit down at the table, and there's food for me. We need to have that same preemptive attitude towards Christ, being prepared and doing things so that He can be exemplified in that way. It's a little bit different tone, though, for men. When we look at Ephesians chapter 5 there, and it talks about husbands. You know, it says, wives, submit to your husbands. Well, that sounds great. Ooh, husbands, yeah, they're in charge. They get to set down the rules and, you know, just do stuff. And you know, they get to sit there in the recliner and have their little scepter and rule, right? Because it says that submit about what the other people are supposed to do. And then we look, children, honor your father and mother. Right? Simple. Easy. And God, He's an authority, right? And the whole idea is that the husband is supposed to represent Christ and represent God. So we need to behave in that way. Man in the house is God. That's what it's saying. But we need to look and really see what is God? What is Christ? Too often, our knee-jerk reactions get caught up in this word of submit and men and women and not liking the way it's all set up because of our culture without really looking at what the Bible has to say about this and how we're to behave. Men are supposed to behave like wives towards God. We need to look at that example and put ourselves in that position. So what is this saying then? When it talks about this, wives, submit to your husband. Okay, we got that. We already covered that. For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. Husbands are the head as Christ is the head. Not as the man wants to be, but as Christ was and is the head. He goes on in verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. Again, he keeps pairing this up. As Christ loved the church. Husbands, do this as Christ. So when we get down to it, what is the role of a husband? The husband is to mirror the Christ persona. The husband is there to be an example of Christ. When we see the way a husband acts biblically, when we look in families and we see a proper husband, what we should be seeing is something we can understand and have a better realization of who and what Christ was. Not the dictator on the throne. Never do we really see Christ as a dictator on the throne. All things are placed under Him, and He is the absolute ruler and authority. But in that position, never does He treat that as a Fidel Castro, as a Stalin, as a Hitler. It's anybody who had absolute power on earth. We never see Him behaving as a warmonger or a dictator in that sense. So we need to really look and see, what kind of a head is Christ? What does it really call for husbands to be that exemplifies that? And what should we look at when we see husbands say, you know what, that is what we should go after and try to achieve? One of the first things we have about husbands is in Genesis chapter 2. And Paul brings it up here in Ephesians and he quotes it, but we'll go ahead and look at Genesis chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. This is one of the very first things we ever see about a man becoming a husband. I mean, we have Adam and Eve there, but then God puts us in, at the very end of chapter 2 of Genesis, he puts this in here about what a husband is going to do. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. He brings this together here at the end of the creation history that we have. He lets us know that last verse right there is important. The man and his wife. Well, if it's the man and his wife, what does that make Adam? He is the husband. He's not just the man. He is the husband of Eve. So he has that unification there at the beginning. But what is the motivation that man has? He says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother. And he puts it in those terms. He doesn't say, for this reason, a wife will leave her family, her home. For this reason, a wife will chase after and go wherever. A man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. The man makes a sacrifice. He gives up his stability and his home for the wife. And we're going to get back to this idea at the very end, if I remember to properly phrase it and tie it in, because it does. But the man gives up his home. He walks away from that. He leaves his father and mother for his wife. He makes that sacrifice. You know, I tell this to my kids, and my wife knows this because I brought it up several times, but before I was married, I lived at home. And I've said it several times in lessons. I used to have a couple paychecks just sitting around in my car. I didn't have to take them down to the bank. I didn't care if I went to the bank and cashed them. I had money in my pocket. There was money in the bank. And I would just, you know, whenever I got around to it, I'd go and I'd deposit those checks. It didn't matter. I didn't have any real responsibility or need on me to take care of that. I had plenty for whatever I wanted. I could eat out, you know, I bought a TV, I did this, that, whatever. It didn't really matter. I didn't have a lot. There was no pull on me. There was nothing demanding any of that. So what I had was enough. Now, that paycheck is direct deposited, and it better be in there Friday morning by the time I go to work. That money better be in the bank account, because that's important. Things have changed. I have a spouse. I've left that security and done something else. I have sacrificed that being taken care of and now must provide not only for myself, but for others. We see this exact same thing when we go later on into Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. This isn't the only place, but this gives us a little idea. Who was Jesus? Well, we know, hopefully, where he came from. He came from heaven. He was with God the Father. He was already there in heaven. He had everything. You know, we can look at several verses in the Bible to see. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we know the Word, that was Jesus. Jesus was there at the beginning. Through him, all things were created. He had power. He had majesty. He had glory. He had honor. All through the Old Testament, where is Jesus? He's up there in heaven. And yet, we come to Hebrews chapter 2, and the author here, in verse 9, brings up the point. He quotes just before this from the psalmist about who is the man, the son of man that you care for. And you made him, in verse 7, you made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor and put everything under his feet. And putting everything under him, God left nothing that is not subject to him. Yet, at present, we do not see everything subject to him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. The author of Hebrews here is acknowledging, you know what Christ did? He did what God said back there in Genesis chapter 2. If the bride of Christ is the church, he left his father and mother to be united with his wife. He left heaven. He left all of that. He left everything that he had and became less for the church. A husband is to leave everything behind and strike out. You know, my parents were way better off than I was when I got married. They had a house. They had multiple cars. They were able to pay for my insurance. You know, there was gas, there was food. When I struck out and I got married, we were definitely below the poverty line. Two people working part-time jobs making a minimum wage. Between us, we may have had a full-time hour-wise, I guess. I'm not really sure. But that's it. The notion that people have in some ways that, oh, you shouldn't get married till you're all set up and everything. That's not the notion we have. There's no getting set up. When you make that commitment, you sacrifice things. You give up all that comfort and everything that you have because there is someone else. There is something else more important than that stability, than that luxury that you're leaving behind. And that's what a husband does. He goes out there and makes a difference. You can look at several studies, and society doesn't necessarily always like this or fall in line with making policies that promote this. But traditionally, statistically, percentage-wise, and it's across the board, even though, yes, it's more weighted towards certain ethnicities than others, but who goes for promotions most? Who is the highest elevated in general in society? Who hungers after the more money, trying to make things better? It's married men. Married men, in general, they're more likely to go for a promotion. They're more likely to swap one job for another job because they have better opportunity, because it will bring more in. It will provide a better base. Why is that? Because they seek to attain for someone else. They're not just motivated for themselves. What would I be satisfied? Well, I was satisfied with a minimum wage paying job before I got married. I had enough. What I wanted was no big deal. You know, I could easily attain for myself. I was comfortable where I was. But I wasn't comfortable with who I was because I wanted something else. Something came into my life. And I wanted to do more. I wanted to be with that instead of where I was. And that's what a husband does. He leaves that security. He leaves all that behind to pursue something else. The next thing that we have is in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Here Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could have been gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. Again, historically, who has the shorter lifespan, husbands or wives? It's husbands. Historically, husbands lay down their lives even though they don't necessarily do it on the spot. This is not saying, oh, you know what, husbands, you got to be ready to take a bullet for your wife. If somebody comes in, you got to be willing to stand in front of her and take a bullet. That is partly what it says, but that is not the entirety of what this means, that Christ laid down his life. We, as husbands, are called to be Christ-like and lay down our lives for our wives. You know why men die before wives in general? Why the husbands generally don't make it as long? It has to do with that whole leaving your father and mother and taking on the job and the stress. Thinking about, I am going to provide. I am going to do this for this other person. Wives, submit to your husbands, but there's a flip side of that. It's not that the husband is sitting there in the easy chair the whole time. He is supposed to be out there doing for her, providing for her, maintaining for her, doing things for her. I don't just have the stress of going to work and taking care of that. Yesterday I did one of my least favorite chores. I hate it. And it's my responsibility. I cleaned out the shower drain. Oh, I hate that job. It makes me gag every time. There's nothing I can do about it. It's not like the whole time it makes me gag, but it's just every once in a while the odor of the job will hit me while I'm doing it and just... If I don't do that, though, what does that mean? It means my wife is standing in ankle-deep water and it looks clean, but it can't be clean because what's backing it up is gross and nasty. I am laying down my life for my wife. I am taking on the responsibility of maintaining the house. It's my job. Am I going to call a plumber out to fix this, or am I going to do it? Am I going to figure this out and struggle through it? Or am I going to work extra hours? You know, how am I going to do this? How is this all going to work out? That's my responsibility to take care of that. She's busy being submissive. I'm busy taking care of her. You know, this is not an unequal thing. This is different types of service that we need to recognize and understand. We are called into different roles, and we need to fulfill those because through that we get a better understanding of who God in Christ is. Maintaining, laying down our lives is not a one-off thing. It's not, I jump in front of the knife, I take the damage. It's a daily commitment to do the hard things. It is stressful. I took over Saturday night dinners just because. You know, it's a little stressful to figure out, well, what am I going to make? You know, that's really not as stressful, though, as I got to come up with X amount of dollars to pay the mortgage in 3 days. How am I going to do that? And that's typically the husband's role. And we see that, again, later on. But the idea of laying down your life, doing the gross, the hard things for her, remodeling the bathroom, providing the house, selling the house she doesn't like, and moving to the house that she does like. All of these things going into it. Working the job that you hate, but because it provides what's needed for the lifestyle that she needs. For whatever reason. Doing it because of the insurance, whatever. But all of that, that's what the husband is supposed to do. That whole thing about following your passion, everything, that really doesn't fly when you have responsibilities. And you may really love to play the ukulele, but good luck making that pay the bills. That's not your responsibility. John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. I'm not going to read all this. There's some back and forth that goes on. But we're going to look at a few verses here. And this is Jesus. Remember, He's Christ. Husbands, be like Christ. And yeah, my wife does things for me. She makes my food, folds my clothes, takes care of setting up appointments. My wife is very submissive. That's actually one of her personality types. She doesn't always fall into that. Sometimes she just kind of suddenly rears her head and says no. And it's kind of surprising at times. But she's very submissive in a lot of ways. She is the appeaser type personality. And that's true with her sisters or all kinds of people. She would rather appease than buck the trend. She's very good about that kind of that attitude. But again, that whole idea of sitting in the armchair with your scepter. Well, okay, let's now look at John chapter 13, Christ. And it's interesting what John says here about Jesus in this passage. When he starts out, and okay, I shouldn't say that because man arbitrarily added verses and chapters to make it easier to reference things in the Bible. When we start out here in chapter 13, it says, "It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love." Paul said, "Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church." What does John say here? Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew, this is the other thing, okay, he's now showing them his full extent of his love. But now, what does John say? Jesus knew the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. What did Jesus know about himself? He was the penultimate authority. All things. He's it. He is the top of the stack. Jesus is it. He is in the armchair with the scepter. That is his place. But now he's going to show his love. We're going to see what the person with all that authority who is supposed to have the submissive does. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet. He showed love. He was the top. Now here's an absurd example, which, okay, yeah, it's funny, but who here can see our current president coming to your house, taking off his clothes, getting in a bathing suit or whatever, and bending down and washing your feet? The proper attitude. That's what we have here. Jesus was way above that. This is what we need to do for others. As husbands, this is what we're called to do. And I guarantee you that every husband here in the room has performed this type of service for their wife. I can't guarantee you that every husband in the world has done that. I know they haven't. But I'm on firm enough footing, and I've heard enough about the men in this room to know that they have performed similar services for their wife. Sometimes when I'm playing a certain game, my wife gets a little pleased. Not that she likes me to play games, because sometimes she has called that her my second mistress or whatever. But there's a certain game that she knows I only need one hand to play that. And I'm sitting on the sofa, and she can lay down on the sofa, and she can put her feet in my lap, and that I can rub her feet with one hand while I'm playing the game with the other. And that's kind of a big deal for her. We as husbands need to show this love. We need to exemplify the love of Christ. And when everybody else sees that, women, children, that is supposed to help them better understand. This is what God feels towards me. This is how He wants to treat me. This is what He's willing to do for me. Yes, He died on the cross, and that was a great sacrifice. But He's also there for the little things, for the tender touch, for that just when you need it, comfort. And husbands are supposed to do that. Yes, submissive. Yes, authority. But no, not totalitarian and not slave. Both serving, but serving differently. Fulfilling a responsibility that shows who and what God is in the proper way. To better understand that relationship with Him. Finally, in John 14 and verse 2, the whole idea, man will leave his father and mother. Why will he do that? For the wife, for the spouse. But what is he doing for her that whole time? What is this that he sacrifices his life for? What does it all culminate in? 14 and 2, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Why does a man go and deal with the stress? Why does he put up with all the hassles of the world? Why does he do all that? To prepare a place for her. I was happy with the cheaper mortgage, the small house, and all that stuff where I was. I was happy at my parents' house having a one room that was my own, sort of. But what was more important? What was the greater goal? Prepare a place for her. She's much happier where she is. She likes the house much, but she'll tell you, oh, I like this house much better. I have complained from time to time about where we live. It's like a ball and chain, it feels like, because the higher mortgage and the greater need for upkeep in a bigger house and the things that go with that. But really, it's not that big a deal. Overall, it's better because she's happier. It's a place for her. And when we talk about the future, anywhere we go, it's more a place for her and what will work for her. And that's what Jesus did. Everything that he did, he left heaven, he did all of that for his bride, the church. And when we, as husbands, fulfill our role, others should see that. We do it for her. we lay down our lives for her. And in that, we glorify God and show the love of Christ for His church.
Thank you again for listening. If you are ever in the neighborhood, we are located at 2834 South Fairfax Road in Bakersfield, California. You can join us Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. On the first Sunday of each month, we have an open potluck around noon and afternoon services following. All other Sundays in the month, we forgo the potluck and have an afternoon meeting at 6 p.m. On Wednesday evenings, you can find us together once more at 7 p.m. For more information or to contact us, visit us at bakchurchofchrist.org. Today's proverb, like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death, is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, "I am only joking,"